From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Araspeña with your state and local news update. State lawmakers in Juneau and local law enforcement are preparing for the possibility of violence after the FBI warned of potential armed protests in each state capital this coming Sunday. And while it's not clear if a protest will happen in Alaska, the threat of violence has already had an impact. Republican Senator Gary Stevens says the legislature has plans to protect the state capital and the people in it.
Well, we're very concerned about it. You know, you'd be foolish not to have paid attention to what went on in Washington, D.C., and then the various plans we've heard around the country. So I'm certain there will be something occurring here in Juneau as well.
Alaska's Capitol building is closed to the public because of the COVID-19 pandemic, but Stevens says there will be plenty of people in it on Sunday. Lawmakers and staff are in town preparing for the upcoming legislative session. After the deadly violence in Washington, D.C., when rioters broke into the nation's Capitol building, Stevens says they had to beef up security.
We're not going to barricade the building. We're not going to have National Guard in front of the building, nothing like that. We have access to others, to other police and protection people if things become dangerous.
Juneau Police Lieutenant Craig Campbell says they don't have any concrete information about plans for a rally in Juneau, though that could change this week. He says they're coordinating with other state and federal law enforcement agencies, making sure that they're ready in case something happens.
And if we plan and staff and do all these things and nobody shows up, great.
Campbell says that rumors on social media that protesters are planning to be armed changes the calculation that people have to make when they're deciding on how to respond. Campbell says that even though it's legal, it's generally not a good idea to bring a weapon to a protest.
Leave guns, weapons, any type of weapon at home, because bringing a weapon to a protest is generally going to increase the stress level for everybody there. It has the increased likelihood of something could go bad, and it's just not worth it. Some people will be perfectly peaceful, but not everybody may be.
Juneau officials aren't the only ones preparing for the possibility of unrest. The Diamond Center, a shopping mall in Anchorage, will be closed on Sunday. An online flyer listed the center as the location for an armed rally. Alaska's news source later reported that the location should have been listed as Juneau. According to that story, organizers confused the Diamond Shopping Center with the Diamond Courthouse, which is across the street from the Capitol building in Juneau. Area Court Administrator James Kwan wrote in an email that the Alaska court system defers to law enforcement agencies like the state's Department of Public Safety, local and federal law enforcement for security expertise. Kwan didn't return a phone call seeking clarification on what type of security the court system has in place in Juneau. The courthouse is closed on the weekend and will be closed on Monday for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. In related news, Alaska's largest Alaska Native organization is calling for President Donald Trump to resign. As KOTZ's Wesley Early reports, the action comes in response to the president's handling of last week's attack on the Capitol.
Alaska Federation of Natives President Julie Kitka says she was horrified by January 6th's deadly attack on the U.S. Capitol by Trump supporters. AFN joined Alaska's congressional delegation in condemning the actions.
It really, truly was a riot, and we felt that we needed to come out and condemn it and call it for what it is the full weight of the law needs to go on all those perpetrators and the people that planned this on that, because it was wrong.
Five people were killed, including one Capitol Police officer, after a group left a Trump rally and forced its way into the Capitol building. AFN co-chair Anna Hoffman said one of the things most striking in the attack was police treatment of the rioters, most of whom were white. She says the police officers' restraint was in stark contrast to treatment of Black and Native protesters in D.C. last year.
I think the rest of the country was able to see the real disparity between how law enforcement and others respond to people of color versus the group that we saw at the Capitol. So that is the reality that Alaska's Native people, brown and Black people, experience every day.
Hoffman says last week's events show police are capable of de-escalating violent crowds without using force.
Acknowledging the the difference in responses is another place for law enforcement to start.
AFN's leadership applauded Senator Lisa Murkowski's statement that the president should go. Last week, Alaska's senior senator blamed President Trump for encouraging supporters to march on the Capitol where Congress was certifying the results of the 2020 election, which he lost. Kitka says Murkowski showed leadership in bucking with her party to oppose the president.
Knowing that she was pretty lone out there doing that, we just felt that we needed to show public support behind what she is trying to say, what she is pushing for. She's a very responsible leader, and she's not radical. She is common sense and solid person on that.
The House of Representatives voted to impeach President Trump for the second time in just over a year. Alaska's Congressman Don Young voted against impeachment. The articles of impeachment will be sent to the U.S. Senate for trial. Kitka says AFN's leadership plans to contact Senator Dan Sullivan ahead of any vote by senators. This isn't the first time AFN has condemned President Trump. They objected to his use of the name Pocahontas as a slur during remarks at a ceremony honoring the Navajo code talkers of World War II. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
Just before Christmas, the Juneau Assembly discussed putting more money into two grant programs intended to pay people who are financially hurting because of the pandemic. But they put off making decisions. They were waiting for clarity from Congress and the president through some end-of-year legislation. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports that's left some needy people eager for action.
Alexis Ross Miller says she's $4,400 behind on her rent. Her landlord has been understanding, but Miller's anxious. She's lived and worked in Juneau for decades. For the last 15 years, she's worked as a contract consultant for political campaigns, nonprofits, and tribes, and as a legislative staffer.
Of course, since the pandemic, I have only worked 2 months in 2020, and I am in dire need of one of those housing loans through CBJ and Catholic Community Services.
The programs Miller is referring to are actually straight grants, not loans. She says she applied toward the end of the application periods for both the city's housing and individual assistance pandemic relief grants. Quick disclosure, I've received the housing grant and applied for the individual assistance grant. But Miller figures she's too far down the first-come, first-served list to get relief, unless the Juneau Assembly adds funding or makes some changes. Assembly was supposed to work through some of those changes last week, but there's still a lot to unpack from the 5,600-page law Congress passed that affects the CARES Act. Assembly member Michelle Hale says because the Assembly rushed putting together the housing assistance and individual assistance programs, some people are getting too much money and others are getting none.
We do want to make sure we're trying to get it into the right hands quickly, but not so quickly that we rush ourselves into additional mistakes.
That frustrated Assemblymember Alicia Hughes Scandies, who sponsored the ordinance that created the individual assistance program. During a committee meeting last week, she contrasted the urgency the Assembly had in the spring to put together relief programs for businesses.
But I think we really need to weigh what it is about individuals versus entities that makes us say, we have the luxury of time now, we can wait. These people don't have the luxury of time. If you're a single parent and you've been not used to paying for childcare, all the schools have been closed for months and months and months.
She was ready to steer more of the city's original CARES Act funding into the individual assistance program that the Assembly could finalize on January 25th. That program got far more applications than the original funding would cover, but Hugh Scandies didn't have the votes. Now the Assembly's plan is to introduce a regular measure that would steer more funds into that program on January 25th, work on it in committee, and take final action on February 8th. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
The Juneau School Board is considering starting all of its meetings with an acknowledgement of local Alaska Native claims to their lands. If approved, the board would make time to recognize Tlingit people as the land's original inhabitants before opening its meetings. Board member Martin Stepton, who is Unangak, says he feels good about the idea.
And I think it represents where we stand in our values. So that's how I feel as a school board member, and I would support having a land acknowledgement here on the school board.
Board President Elizabeth Seiden says she's optimistic about moving forward with the proposal to the board. The seven-member board voted unanimously to refer a proposal to the policy committee. The concept of land acknowledgments in Alaska has been gaining ground in recent years. You're listening to KTOO News in Juneau.